This is People Magazine for the week of October 7th, 2019. On the cover of this week's People, Felicity Huffman, facing her fate. The actress prepares for prison and focuses on healing her family alongside husband William H. Macy. But first, happy anniversary, George and Amal's 5 blissful years. It's been 5 years since George and Amal Clooney married during an epic 3-day celebration in Venice. And while their life together is still impeccably glamorous, it's changed considerably since then. Though they still occasionally globe hop for work, they spend as much time as they can nesting in their homes in Italy and outside London, simply being mom and dad to twins Ella and Alexander, age 2. Over the summer, the duo embraced the chance to relax as a family at their villa in Laglio, Italy, where they hosted famous friends like the Obamas. Their Lake Como villa is spectacular, and George and Amal look forward to spending the summer there every year, says a source. It's a wonderful place for the whole family. The couple have perfected a smooth partnership when it comes to navigating their high-profile careers and social activism. A week before Amal, age 41, an international human rights lawyer, was scheduled to speak at the United Nations Annual General Assembly in New York in September, her husband was in London to present a report about corruption in South Sudan. With sometimes hectic work schedules, they really try to take turns so one parent is always with the kids, says the source. Earlier this year, George, age 58, who told Who magazine, or possibly WHO magazine, that they try their best to keep their family grounded. Obviously, the world is different now. The star, who will soon begin production on his Netflix film, Good Morning Midnight, told the outlet. But we have to live our lives as normal as possible. The couple are raising their children with a combination of free play and education, says the source. Amal is very into them having a play-based childhood with lots of books, art, and crafts. 6 years after first meeting Amal through a mutual friend, George is still very much smitten with his brilliant wife. He appreciates his life with her, says the source. They're such a beautiful couple in many ways. Why Miley and Caitlin called it quits after 1 month. Miley Cyrus's month-long fling with Caitlin Carter has fizzed out. Miley doesn't want a serious relationship, a source says of the singer, age 26, who was spotted kissing Carter, age 31, in Italy, August 10th, the same day Cyrus announced her split from husband Liam Hemsworth, age 29. Miley was so invested in her relationship with Liam for a long time, she felt her relationship with Caitlin was almost moving in that direction, too, adds the source. She and Caitlin spent every day together, and it just wasn't anything that Miley wanted to continue doing. She wants to focus on her career. Now, flying solo and with a divorce from Hemsworth underway, the source says, Miley is looking forward to being single. Here's this week's Heart Monitor, Ready to Wed, Jennifer Lawrence and Cook Maroney. On September 16th, the actress, age 29, and art gallery director, age 35, were spotted at the Manhattan Marriage Bureau ahead of their upcoming wedding. "He's the greatest human being I ever met," she said in June. Back on? Ryan Seacrest and Shayna Taylor. After splitting in February, they sparked reunion talk when they vacationed together this summer, and on September 19th, the Live with Kelly and Ryan host, age 44, revealed on air that the chef, age 27, is coming to his family's Thanksgiving. Everyone's dating a bachelor. Rachel Bilson and Nick Viall. The ex-bachelor, age 39, played coy about buzz of a romance with the OC actress, age 38, saying, "I'm not really defining any relationships these days." Demi Lovato and Mike Johnson. After flirting on Instagram, the Bachelorette alum, age 31, confirmed he went on a date with the singer, age 27. "I think she's amazing," he said. Gigi Hadid, and Tyler Cameron. Linked since August, the model, age 24, and the bachelorette castoff, age 26, are still getting to know each other and have fun, says a source. Blake and Gwen on Love and working together on The Voice. When Adam Levine announced his departure from The Voice in May, fans knew Blake Shelton would be the hardest hit by his longtime pal's absence. But with Shelton's girlfriend, Gwen Stefani, taking Levine's place on season 17, the country star couldn't be happier. "It feels normal to have her back," Shelton, age 43, says of the No Doubt rocker, who has appeared on and off as a coach on the hit NBC singing competition since 2014. "But at the same time, it's exciting, and it helps with the weirdness of Adam not being here." Shelton and Stefani's love story first began when they met on the set of the show 5 years ago. They started dating in 2015, following the end of their respective marriages, Shelton's to Miranda Lambert and Stefani's to Gavin Rossdale, and have been happily together ever since. "Every season I've worked with Blake has been completely different because I've been in different places in my life," says Stefani, age 50. "This time's my favorite because we will know each other so well." Joining Shelton and Stefani in the red chairs this season, airing Mondays and Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, are returning coaches Kelly Clarkson and John Legend, who have both noticed a change in Shelton since Stefani's return to the show. "It's like seeing a different side of Blake," says Legend, age 40. "I feel like she makes him better and softens him up. She's his weakness." Shelton jokes that Stefani is 100% taking advantage of that fact. And Clarkson, age 37, adds that Stefani has sweet-talked her beau by saying, "Blakey, I want that one," when going head-to-head for artists. But Stefani has no shame in her game. "I'm going to fight for people that I think are great," she says. "If that means having to fight Blake hard, I'm going to do it." Here's a movie review for you. The movie is Judy. Renee Zellweger is sensational as a Hollywood star yearning for a rainbow. Frank Sinatra reportedly said that Judy Garland gave of herself so completely and so desperately, she seemed to die every time she sang in concert. You could say she sacrificed herself on the altar of entertainment, a suggestion both enthralling and mortifying. That's Judy in a nutshell. Renee Zellweger gives a terrific performance as the legendary star at the end of her short, messy life after years of substance abuse. She died of an accidental barbiturate overdose in 1969 at age 47. The film begins as Garland arrives in London for a series of what are meant to be comeback concerts. With the Wizard of Oz decades in the past, she needs the money and she needs the work. Her last attempt at a Hollywood comeback, 1967's Valley of the Dolls, ended disastrously with her being replaced by Susan Hayward. Judy Davis arguably did a better job of capturing Garland's manic fragility in the ABC miniseries Life with Judy Garland, Me and My Shadows. But Zellweger is more soulful and heartbreakingly bruised and does her own singing. She's like a songbird trying to make itself heard in a blizzard. There's Oscar buzz about that movie, it says. And now our cover story, Felicity Huffman trying to heal her family. As she prepares to serve jail time for her role in the college admissions scandal, the actress is working to rebuild her life with her husband and daughters and to make amends. As their daughters, Sophia, age 19, and Georgia, age 17, grew up, Felicity Huffman and her husband of 22 years, William H. Macy, did their best to create a life ruled by traditional joys, not Hollywood glitz. There were scavenger hunts in the backyard, family dinners nearly every night, and an annual Halloween party with the neighborhood kids invited. But on March 12th, the family's quiet world was changed forever when six FBI agents woke them up at gunpoint, put handcuffs on Huffman, and charged her with conspiracy to commit mail fraud for her role in the college admissions scandal. 6 months later, the Emmy-winning Desperate Housewives star stood before a judge in a Boston courtroom and was sentenced to 14 days in prison, a year of supervised release, and a $30,000 fine and 250 hours of community service after pleading guilty to paying admissions consultant Rick Singer $15,000 to have a proctor correct Sophia's SAT answers after she took the test. Huffman's role in the cheating scandal, which involves 50 other parents, coaches, exam proctors, and admissions counselors, including Full House actress Lori Loughlin, left her family reeling with hurt, shame, and fear about their future. Since her arrest, the family has gone through some rough patches, says a source close to them, but they're fighting through them as best they can. They know it will take some time. In the face of their new reality, Huffman, Macy, and their daughters are determined to stick together and find a way forward, according to sources. They're talking a lot about spending lots of time together, says one. They're going for walks, playing board games, and having family dinners. Just after the verdict was read, Huffman, age 56, and Macy, age 69, flew back to spend time with their daughters in Los Angeles, where they were spotted moving Sophia, who was never alleged to have known about her mom's scheme, into a new place. Sophia has found her own apartment and has two part-time jobs. She still stays close to home, but it's been a good transition for her, says the family source. She's reapplying to colleges, and Georgia will be applying to schools as well this year. Huffman and Georgia have kept up their volunteer work at the Teen Project, a local rehab center for girls who've lived on the streets and are trying to earn their GEDs, where they've been tutoring for almost 2 years. On September 21st, Macy took Georgia and a couple of her friends to the premiere of A Play is a Poem at the Mark Tapper Forum, where a theater goer says the father and daughter were in good spirits and smiling. Behind the scenes, though, the healing was only just begun. Before his wife's sentencing, Macy said in a letter to the judge that Felicity's relationship with her daughters exploded on March 12th, and rebuilding that relationship will be a long process. He added that they've all been seeing a family therapist. There is much to be done, and some of the hurt and anger will take years to work through, but we're making progress. Along with trying to repair the damage to their family, Huffman is now preparing for her time behind bars, set to begin on or before October 25th. Felicity and her team are still trying to figure out what prison she'll be assigned to, says the family source. She's worried about where she's going, but also is resigned to paying her dues no matter what she has to face. Throughout the scandal, Huffman's husband of more than two decades has stayed by her side. The couple, who met when he was her teacher at New York City's Atlantic Theater Company in the early 1980s, have been the envy of many in Hollywood for their loving and lasting marriage. Macy has said he knew instantly Huffman was the one. She was a dream girl, and I was swept away, literally, he said on 60 Minutes in 2006. They later began dating while doing theater together in Vermont. Huffman recalled their first date when accepting an Emmy in 2005 for Desperate Housewives. Thank you for taking a chunky 22-year-old with a bad perm and glasses out into a cow pasture and kissing me and making me his wife, she said on stage. Macy, who is continuing to act and direct for his Showtime series, Shameless, is thankful the sentencing is over, though he continues to worry about his wife's well-being. He's seen firsthand how difficult the experience has been on her, says the family source. He's been extremely supportive and well-protective of her all along the way. In his letter to the judge, Macy praised Huffman's parenting skills, but said the role of mom did not come easily to her. Motherhood has, from the very beginning, frightened Felicity, and she's not carried being a mom easily. She's struggled to find the balance between what the experts say and her common sense. But I also want you to know that Felicity has raised two amazing young women. Huffman, too, admitted her insecurities about motherhood. From the moment my children were born, I worried that they got me as a mother. I so desperately wanted to do it right and was so deathly afraid of doing it wrong, she wrote in her letter. When she drove Sophia to the testing center in December 2017, I kept saying to myself, turn around, turn around, turn around. To my eternal shame, I didn't, Huffman told the judge. She said it was her desperation to be a good mother that led her to commit a crime for which she will feel utter shame for the rest of her life. Huffman said she was especially worried about Sophia, who was diagnosed with learning disabilities at age 8. I talked myself into believing that all I was doing was giving my daughter a fair shot, wrote the actress, who's the first of the parents involved in the admission scandal to be sentenced. Despite her impending jail time and ongoing public scrutiny and embarrassing headlines, nothing has been as heartbreaking to Huffman as the hurt she's caused her family, and in particular, Sophia. When my daughter looked at me and asked with tears streaming down her face, why didn't you believe in me? Why didn't you think I could do it on my own? I had no adequate answer for her. I could only say, I am sorry. I was frightened and I was stupid, she wrote in her letter to the judge. In a statement released after her sentencing, she vowed in the future to live a more honest life and serve as a better role model for my daughters and family. Says the source, she's shown extraordinary grace and humility throughout this whole ordeal. She's hoping the public will give her a second chance and the opportunity to prove how contrite she is and how seriously she takes this whole matter. Whether Hollywood and audiences will forgive her is still unknown. Before the scandal erupted, she filmed two Netflix projects, the Emmy-nodded miniseries When They See Us and the film Otherhood, opposite Angela Bassett and Patricia Arquette. Her indie film, Tammy's Always Dying, premiered at the Toronto Film Festival in September. She hasn't pursued work or been cast in another project since her arrest, but experts say the industry is fairly quick to forgive those who take responsibility for their mistakes. Hollywood has tipped against both Lori and Felicity, but Hollywood will tip right back with Felicity, says an entertainment insider. She'll lose a few parts, but she'll be fine. She's a stellar actress. But the future of her career means nothing compared with her desire to help her family heal. They are a solid group and are leaning on each other, says the family source. For now, they're doing their best to move forward. So there is an inset box and it says, what will Felicity face in prison? Federal Correctional Institution Dublin, the federal prison camp in California, where Huffman has asked to serve her 14-day sentence, may be minimum security, but it's no country club, says convicted felon turned prison consultant Justin Papperny. It's federal prison. Plus, the Bureau of Prisons could send her elsewhere, or, since her sentence is short, to a detention center like the one in L.A., where she'd be housed with more violent criminals. No matter where she goes, when she enters, she'll be strip-searched, he says, and it's humiliating, dehumanizing experience for some. In a minimum security camp, you're living in an open dorm surrounded by many people. It can be very noisy, he says. If she's given a job, it could be scrubbing toilets or showers. His advice on how to weather the stay, show little emotion and lay low. The goal is to get out of there without any problems. There's an inset box here with a photo of her with Eva Longoria. It says, good pal Eva Longoria has stuck by Huffman's side, writing a letter to the judge on her behalf. Her gentle character and kind heart opened up to me, Longoria wrote of their 8 seasons together on Desperate Housewives. The Sussex family, Meghan's big return. The royal mom ends her maternity leave and heads to South Africa with 5-month-old Archie and husband Harry. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have been looking forward to their first tour with baby Archie for months And when it kicked off in Cape Town, September 23rd, they made it clear how personal this trip is for both of them. While I'm here with my husband and as a member of the royal family, I want you to know that for me, I'm here with you as a mother, as a wife, as a woman of color, and as your sister. Meghan said to cheers from the crowd, I'm here with you and I'm here for you. In his own speech, Harry noted that the community's strength is in your spirit, which for me means honoring and protecting my wife and being a positive role model for my son. Visiting a self-defense class run for girls, Meghan said, I admire you all and your strength, says Jessica Dewhurst, founder of Justice Desk, which runs outreach programs tackling violence against women and young girls in South Africa. If you stay strong and stay true to supporting each other as sisters, then you can go and change the world. The start of the South Africa tour marked a major return to the public life for Meghan, age 38, who had been on maternity leave since welcoming Archie on May 6th. Behind the scenes, she was quietly working on her capsule collection for the SmartWorks charity and gearing up for the launch of her new foundation with Harry, Sussex Royal, early next year. But mostly, she was enjoying the time off with Archie at the family's Frogmore Cottage home in Windsor. Meghan is so chill and relaxed as a mom, says a friend. And when negative headlines popped up, as they did over the summer about the family's private jet travels or staff turnover, Meghan and Harry pull even closer together. They definitely lean on each other during challenging times, a source said. The tour takes them back to a place that had long held special meaning for Harry, who visited South Africa as a boy. In 2016, after just two dates, Harry took Meghan to Botswana, where they camped out with each other under the stars, and were really by ourselves, Harry has said. Adds the source, they're both excited about Africa. While Meghan's focus is Archie, she's also prioritizing her marriage to Harry. On September 19th, the couple traveled to Rome for a romantic getaway to celebrate their friend Misha Nonu's wedding, leaving their son home with his trusted nanny. Meghan and Harry like her, and she's great with Archie, the source says of the nanny, who's also traveling with the couple to Africa. Some fans were disappointed not to see Archie the first day of the tour. He was sleeping, his doting parents explained. But while he napped, the youngest royal was honored with a meaningful gift. The name Archie means bravery and strength, Dewhurst told Meghan and Harry, adding that her group was giving him the traditional South African name, Nsika. This name, of Xhosa African origin, means pillar of strength. May he always be a pillar of strength for those who need him. As the tour picks up steam through its conclusion on October 2nd, the royal parents, who will spend a few days apart as Harry journeys around the area, are enjoying the warm welcome. This was amazing, said Renee Brink, whose 10-year-old son Ludwig gave Meghan a bouquet of protea, the national flower of South Africa. She was lovely. I'm so happy that they're here. An inset box, it says, Archie's sweet throwback look to his dad. Fans did a double take when Meghan carried Archie off the plane in South Africa. The littlest royal was wearing a white knit hat that bore a striking resemblance to one Harry wore at the same age in 1985 as he was carried off the plane by his mother, Princess Diana. Even though Archie is so young, to be able to bring him there and have him see what they love means a lot, says a source. This is his first big trip, and Meghan is super excited. Renee takes center stage. Earning major Oscar buzz for playing Judy Garland, the star reflects on surviving the spotlight and finding peace. Renee Zellweger is explaining why one of her favorite smells is a dog's ear. Curled into a chair in a small ballroom of a hotel in Toronto on September 8th, the actress giggles despite her long day. They always smell like puppy breath, she insists. Zellweger's own two rescues, Chester and Ellie, had to stay behind in Los Angeles, and it's obvious the actress is missing them, though she also doesn't mind the chance to sleep in. "Not that big old 110 pounds of snot at 5 a.m., she says. "I don't even know if they're hungry. They just want me to be up, like, you awake? Because there's so much we could be doing." Zellweger, age 50, has come to understand the importance of alone time. The Texas native became a breakout sensation in 1996 after starring with Tom Cruise and Jerry Maguire, and cemented her place as America's spunky, quirky sweetheart with the Bridget Jones movies. But from 2010 to 2016, she took a much-needed break from Hollywood and largely disappeared from the public eye. "I think I was really tired," she told People in 2016. A grueling schedule and intense public scrutiny of her relationships, and later her looks, had left Zellweger briefly depressed and burned out. Her return 3 years ago for Bridget Jones's Baby marked a new beginning for the actress. Now, her portrayal of screen legend Judy Garland in the new biopic Judy is already making her a frontrunner for this year's Oscars. Zellweger plays Garland in the final months of her life in 1968 and 69, at age 46, battling an addiction to pills and facing bankruptcy. The irony is that Renee is a really feet-on-the-ground, stable, grown-up, very clean-living, very sufficient woman, says Judy director Rupert Gold. In some ways, it's so unlikely for her to play this sort of highly emotional, all-over-the-place, addicted, damaged personality. But for Zellweger, the role hit closer to home. "Well, I mean, I have a little bit of understanding about what it's like to live with a public persona," she says. "I understand the vast gulf between what is written about that person and what is the truth of their life." The actress completely transformed herself for the role by studying biographies, personal audio recordings, even bootleg music performances of the veteran actress and singer. Renee has been through a long and storied career in Hollywood, like Garland, and I'm sure carries her own glories and scars from that period, Golds adds. I think she was probably mining some of that as well. Growing up in Katy, Texas, with a Swiss father and Norwegian mother, Zellweger had every intention of becoming a journalist until she took a drama class at the University of Texas and was hooked. She won her first role in 1993's Dazed and Confused and Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Next Generation before making the move to L.A. She was working as a bartending assistant when she was cast in 1996's Jerry Maguire, prompting a deluge of memorable roles, including the Bridget Jones trilogy and 2003's Cold Mountain, for which she won an Oscar. Along the way, she had high-profile romances with Bradley Cooper, Jack White, Kenny Chesney, they were briefly married, and Jim Carrey. When she decided to pull back from acting in 2010, there wasn't a reason not to, she told People in 2016. "I didn't have children or an established relationship that dictated I make different choices. And because the choices I was making and the life that I was living, I had no time to develop that." Away from the spotlight, she learned that "I like being privately creative very much," she says. Then it was high time to get a dog again. Now the actress finds peace and solace in the simplicities of everyday life at her house in a quiet canyon in L.A. "If you've ever had a bad day, normalcy is pretty damn good," she says. Zellweger credits her family for keeping her most grounded. "And the dog certainly helps," she adds. "Just little reminders of what's truly valuable." Currently single, she recently split from musician Doyle Bramall II. Zellweger has learned that love kind of stays, she says, and that over time, even when you think it's gone, reflecting on it, it's still very much there. It's kind of great, actually. Moments of bliss for the actress are now mostly experienced at home with her pups by her side. "Just yesterday I was playing the piano and I was looking at Chester and Ellie looking at me," she says. "The sun was setting that pink sky, and I was just thinking, yeah, we're good." And that is all the time we have for today. This has been People Magazine. I'm Jackie Norton for Radio Reading Services.